WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Texas Democratic lawmakers are in suburban Chicago to prevent a vote on a Republican redistricting proposal that they say favors the GOP. Democratic state, Texas state rep Chris Turner.
There was a time when a Texas governor wouldn't be afraid to tell the president, any president, don't mess with Texas. But Greg Abbott is too subservient and too weak to do that to Donald Trump.
California's Gifford Fire has exploded to around 50,000 acres in Los Padres National Forest near Santa Maria. Captain Scott Safechuck says that hundreds of homes are under threat.
A portion of them have been evacuated. They're under a mandatory evacuation. And then the others are under an evacuation warning.
The search enters a fourth day for a military veteran who police say shot to death four people in a Montana bar. Shane Charles knows the suspect and says he has a history of mental issues.
He's telling stories that he's John Wick one day, or he was the president's right-hand man.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's still smoky. Smoke from Canadian wildfires in Canada is continuing to make the air around here unhealthy. The National Weather Service has the air quality advisory running today through noon, with it possible to be extended yet again. Officials say the impact is really hitting people hard who are more sensitive, like the elderly, the very young, and those with breathing troubles. A political newcomer and a longtime Racine resident is stepping up to take on Brian Stile in the race for Congress. Gage Stills joins Randy Bryce as opposition in the 1st Congressional District. A LinkedIn page for Stills says he's worked at Best Buy since 2019, with a campaign announcement saying he knows the struggle of living paycheck to paycheck. Stills says he's running a grassroots campaign fueled by regular folks, not big corporations. Kenosha's very own Peter Barca ran against Stile last year but lost. Randy Bryce, an iron worker and union activist, previously ran for the same seat in 2018 and was defeated by Stile, who succeeded Paul Ryan in the position. Two Wisconsinites have died this year from a rare tick-borne virus, with at least eight others hospitalized. Melissa Kay explains what the virus is and how it spreads.
Health officials at Aspirus are jumping on the bandwagon to alert Wisconsinites of the rare but potentially deadly tick-borne illness called Powassan virus. We know black-legged ticks are responsible for spreading Lyme disease, but they're also the culprits behind the recent confirmed cases of Powassan virus in our state. The symptoms are similar to viral encephalitis or inflammation of the brain.
Fevers and headaches, and malaise, not eating, not drinking, basically brain on fire symptoms.
That's Dr. James Thatcher. He's a physician at the Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center. He said that while the virus is rare, the severity is alarming.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers open a series against the Braves. Milwaukee beating the Nationals yesterday 14-3 to complete a three-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says adding new talent like infielders Anthony Ziegler, Caleb Durbin, or trading for Brandon Lockridge is keeping them competitive.
You look at Lockridge and Ziegler, and they don't have very many Major League ABs, so once again, I go back to their hunger. They want to impress. They want to be here. And then Durbin's been on the bench a couple days, so he's like, wait a minute, and that matters. You know, Ortiz finding himself. So all that is collectively a healthy situation when you have young, hungry players.
NFL, the Packers taking a day off from practice. Then they get ready to host the New York Jets Saturday night. Overall, Matt LaFleur pleased with the work they got done on family night.
I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires likely here today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 80 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kopischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner Kaylin Bavink joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It is 8:06 on this Monday morning, August 4th. It is nice to have you back here up north, live from Lake Wissota and all across the state. Parker Olson is normally producing this shindig. Instead, Parker's taking an extended weekend. We know because he's heckling us in the comment sections on YouTube. But Dom is sitting in, in his place over in Studio A1. Although, what is the correct term there? The studio's A1, but the control rooms have like some other designation, right?
I'm too new. I don't even know. I honestly don't even know. I wish.
Yeah. That's okay. You weren't told there would be a pop quiz here, so we'll let you go with that. But Dom's here pinch hitting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here, and of course John and Gordy from their Civic Media morning show, 6 to 8 in the Madison area, or catch it on the Civic Media app. So, Brittany, let's just get going with you, because this is, am I right that this is going to be one of the cooler, not cooler, but this will be, it's going to get warmer from here.
Yeah, pretty much.
We got to warm up throughout the course of the week.
But yes,
less,
we are.
So higher temperatures, less smoke, right?
Yes, that's the plan. Let's hope it sticks to that. It's going to get sticky, right?
Okay. As sticky as a Pat Murphy pocket pancake? I mean, because that's what I'm hearing from Alicia. She's envisioning that sticky pockets, that poor equipment manager who's got to deal with Murphy's pocket pancakes. I don't know that he puts syrup on it, though. I wouldn't do that. I'm getting no support for the pocket pancake.
Not in your pocket anyway.
Please Brittany, continue with the sticky weather. Okay. You were saying.
Okay. So a little bit like syrup. That's what we're going to be feeling like later on this week and into the weekend. Sticky. But until then, still battling some of that wildfire smoke and haze still lingering, and air quality alert obviously still in effect until noon today. It might get extended one more day for parts of the state because the high pressure system is still here. It's only moved over a little bit towards Michigan, but it has taken some of that wildfire smoke and moved it off more towards the eastern parts of the Great Lakes. But it is still unhealthy in towards Milwaukee, the Fox Valley, even into Madison right now. A little bit of relief far northwest where it's not too bad, more at a moderate level. So as we go through the afternoon, high pressure still here, clear skies, besides the haze and the smoke filled out there on occasion, you could see it burn off a little bit. Highs will hit the upper 70s to scraping the low 80s today. So very comfortable, humidity staying tame. It starts to increase by Wednesday. We'll start to feel pretty muggy on Wednesday, becoming humid on Thursday, and those temperatures hitting near 90 degrees as we go into the weekend. So yes, that is returning, but still staying comfortable up until today, tomorrow, and we'll really start to feel that midweek. But patchy dense fog still possible in places this morning, again overnight tonight and tomorrow morning. A lot of sunshine south today and a few more clouds hanging around up north today.
Does the increase in temperatures bring back like any shot at like thunderstorms, things like that?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't trying to depress everybody, though.
Oh, no. It's okay. We're noticing we've loved this nice spell of weather, but you're starting to see that in the lawns and things going, all right, a little rain wouldn't be the worst thing, you know.
Yeah, looks like by Wednesday night, we should get some of that Thursday, Friday, into the weekend, too.
All right, Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great.
Yes, you're welcome.
All right. Hey, remember, if you miss an episode of this show, you can always catch it as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But we'd love to have you as a follower for this show and all of the fine Civic Media shows that certainly include John and Gordy down there at WMDX in Madison. Guys, how are you this morning?
We're good.
Doing all right. Yeah. How are you, Pat?
Pretty good here. Uh-huh. It was a very busy weekend, but it was just all around the house. So partly productive, partly relaxing. Folks who missed it earlier, I've already confessed to not forgetting to take my AirPods out of my pocket until I heard all this banging from the dryer as I was trying to fall asleep last night. I finally get up and what is that noise? And you know, it's like, is it you know, from jeans, you know, sometimes the buttons, the buckles and things like that. Right. And I go and I see the AirPod case, and then I see the left AirPod, and I see the right AirPod. I know they've gone through the washer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this can't be good. But I just tried them during the news, and holy cow, AirPods. They can go through a washing machine.
That's amazing.
And still work just fine.
So the case, does the case charge those?
The case charges them,
okay.
Yeah.
And that still nice works too, right?
Green light on it, still holds the charge.
Can't believe it. Apple doesn't stand up well to anything, but okay, I'll go with that. I'm not a big fan of Apple's, so.
I joined the cult a long time ago, and now I'm kind of trapped in it. I mean, I've seen people's Galaxy phones and others, and I've been jealous. But I'm like, well, I got all. If I change the one, I got to change them all.
See,
that's how they get you.
I have that Galaxy right here. If you're on, if you're watching,
look at that.
I have the Fold. Yes, I do. So
those fold screens, they really work?
They really do work. There is one problem with them, though. The screen protector doesn't last as long as the actual screen that comes with the phone. That's the sad part. So eventually, in about a year, I'll peel that thing off, and I won't have the protector on anymore. You can take it someplace and have another one put on, but that costs a little bit of money. Can't do it.
All these things cost a little bit of money now.
That's true.
Yeah. What'd you guys do over the weekend?
Well, let's see.
I was watering plants because you brought it up with Brittany. You know, it is starting to get dry again. You know, if you get a new tree, they need constant watering to establish those roots. So that's what I was doing. Man, the neighbors were asking me questions. They just love my work out in the yard.
I just appreciate that work ethic.
Yeah.
And the other thing that started up this weekend, I haven't gone to any of these shows yet, but it's Madison Comedy Week here. So there are something like 80 to 90 to maybe 100 comedians roaming around Madison, going to 9 different venues and performing for the folks. And our producer, Dom, went to a big comedy show. Nate Bergotsky was at the Alliance Center.
Yeah.
In fact, he did 2 shows there. You went there, right?
I went to the first one, and he's a big name. Honestly, I didn't even know about him. I went with my parents, and he was awesome. He was awesome. He talked about comedy on State, and I was like, hey, we're right above there. You
That's
know,
where
I
our studio
felt like
is,
I should have got up and, you know,
you
pronounced
up
my name and everything. So
should have done that.
Nate Bargatze is like selling out arenas.
Everybody's familiar with him, I mean, he's done a Saturday Night Live bit a couple of times now, playing George Washington, creating words
crossing the
for Americans. Yeah.
Talking about how we'll have a system of measuring things.
Yes.
And it'll be called miles. You know, all the weird quirks that we have here.
That is great stuff. Yeah.
And he's a funny guy, and he's just from all reports, a genuinely nice person as well.
Yeah.
Which you don't see enough of there. So, Dom, you said you were not familiar with him, but
now
that
now I definitely am, and my parents definitely put me on the Nate Bergotsky train, because now I'm going to be listening to him all the time now.
Well, I think he's got a bunch of specials on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
We watched one where his daughter went up on stage and introduced him. That was very cute, actually.
Oh,
yeah, it was really neat.
I think it's just great that here's a parent turning on their adult child to something cultural.
Yeah,
instead of the other way around. Yeah. Like, you know, mom, dad, can you put down Lawrence Welk long enough to listen to some of this modern music? And instead we're schooling them. So that's good.
Well, you
so
knew that he wasn't going to swear very much because his daughter's very young and she went up on stage. So it was a great concert. And by the way, you know, you got to see this guy. He's really good.
He's very, very funny.
Yeah. And clean. And he works clean, yep. Which is always great. It's like there's always like the next one that works clean. Like Jim Gaffigan comes to
yes.
mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, right. when he got big, and again, just doesn't have to go down that road at all. Mm-hmm. Again, plenty of people do, and it works for them. But if you can find that lane, you can get mainstream appeal in no time.
Yeah.
If you're funny. You know,
well,
so this Madison Comedy Fest, is it for any kind of a benefit, or is it just a case of all the comedy clubs get together and this is a great little?
Yeah, I think it's that second option. Yeah, I think it's okay. just
promotion.
Mainly for the comedians and promote some of the venues. And, you know, we're like Dom mentioned, we're two floors above Comedy on State, which is the comedy club that's been here, I think, the longest in Madison. Mm-hmm. But there are several other venues around, and I think they do this every year. And there's some sort of competitive thing going on with it as well. I don't know how that all works, but
you've been doing Madison local radio here for what, 75 years now?
Yes.
So have you over that time? I mean, combined, have you had comedians on the show? And it, because I haven't, and it strikes me as one of those things where they feel like they have to do it, but that's not their body clock, and so they're not necessarily at their best, or conversely, they're great. Have you had comedians on your shows in the past?
We have. It's
tough.
Like you say, it's not really in their wheelhouse. It's the time of day, and then, you know, there's no real live audience to work.
Yeah, we're not and that so, live. Yeah,
so it's a tough venue for them.
A little
think.
Older.
Now we have had them on, and we've played some of their clips. You know, if they've got a CD or something like that, we'll do some of that. But usually it's. It's not the greatest thing for them.
We've had Mike Mercury on a few times way back local. In the past, very local. And this morning, first thing, we invited any roving comedian to stop in on the show and do their thing. Yeah. But we haven't gotten anybody knocking at the door. Yeah. So
they're not awake at 6 a.m.
You said there's like 80,000 of them walking around the city here.
Yeah.
Look, if anybody that does specialize in early morning comedy, I mean, they've got a gig at a radio station. You may as well get paid for it.
Right, yeah,
you
know, that's right.
And and do it that way. Whereas comics wandering off the street, that's very brave of you. I don't know that I could do that. And say, sure, anybody that wants to just stumble in, we'll give you a microphone. That usually describes like a hostage situation or something like that. But
a lot of times it seems like that.
Well, the other good thing about today is that it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
What do you got there?
Yeah, our receptionist, Megan, brought these cookies in at the last minute, right before the show ended. So, you know, we've got something to look forward to here for the rest of the day.
What I thought you were going to, when I first saw those, I thought, oh, are those from Insomnia Cookie just down State Street from you guys? Have you ever been to Insomnia Cookies?
No, from the Metro Market.
So, okay. No.
Oh, no, those are good, too. Don't get me wrong. But Insomnia Cookies, it's a national franchise, and it's, you know, you'll find it in college towns. They specialize in, they're like the Domino's Pizza of chocolate chip cookies. They will deliver freshly baked cookies.
I did not know that. That sounds
delicious. Or you can go to their store and get them. And, I mean, you know, freshly baked cookies.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, is it possible to have a bad one? I just don't know.
I don't think so.
Every time I'm down there, I have to wander down and get that. And of course, you think you're just going to get a chocolate chip cookie because it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. But oh no, there's you got to get. I end up with one of everything.
I know.
And then I get home, you know, and Sherry's like, what'd you bring? I'm like, well, you know, honey, it was a 200-mile drive. It's 3 hours. And
just say they were day-old cookies and you got a good deal.
Yeah, you wouldn't have liked them. You wouldn't understand. We're talking with John and Gordy from our Madison station, WMDX. Catch them weekdays 6 to 8, either in the Madison area or on the Civic Media app. A local update is next for some of you. And others will continue to talk about our weekends and week plans and what John and Gordy have planned for their shows as well. But first, a quick note for you about the weekend with the Milwaukee Brewers, in case you missed it. I mean, it just wasn't even fair what these guys did to the Washington Nationals over the weekend. 16-9 on Friday, 8-2 on Saturday, 14-3 yesterday. So they still have far and away the best record in baseball, and now they're on their way to Atlanta, playing Atlanta starting at 5:40, the pregame, tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday evening on several stations across the Civic Media radio network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show. Weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media radio network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you're a regular listener to the shows here on Civic Media, you're going to know that one of the things we have talked about on many occasions is reckless driving, specifically in the city of Milwaukee. We've had many guests on our shows to talk about fixes, to talk about initiatives, policies, because we can all agree that something needs to be done about this. And Maggie Dawn spoke to Jeremy Janine, who's discussing the Vision Zero Initiative, an ambitious plan to eliminate traffic fatalities through strategic urban redesign and policy reform in Milwaukee.
And we've got an interesting initiative that the city of Milwaukee has been working on for a bit. It's called Vision Zero, and that is to eliminate all traffic deaths within the city of Milwaukee. I particularly like this because it places the city in an affirmative policy posture. In other words, here is this place that we want to get to. Here is our goal. Instead of always being in this responsive, oh gosh, we have to stop the reckless driving, it sets out an ambitious, audacious goal for us to get to as a city. Again, not just trying to eliminate the harms, but trying to establish a positive direction. We've got Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee, the founder and one of the journalists there. Welcome back to the show, Jeremy, and happy belated 4th of July to you.
To you as well. Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about Vision Zero. When did this come about? How are they going about trying to achieve this? Quite audacious goal.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous on its face, but there's even one U.S. city that has achieved it. It's an idea from the 1990s that originated in Sweden, and it takes a holistic approach at eliminating traffic tests. The acknowledgement that crashes are going to happen, but they don't have to be severe and they don't have to be fatal. And that includes not just people in vehicles, but pedestrians, bicyclists, everyone that could be around the road and using a road, that they should be safe. And the U.S. city that did achieve this is Hoboken, New Jersey, which is obviously a little bit of an outlier because it's a smaller city. It's only a couple square miles. Milwaukee is much larger, but they did it in a systematic fashion that Milwaukee is trying to do as well. And traditionally, when you think of preventing or increasing road safety, you think of three things: engineering, enforcement, and education. So enforcement, something we can all identify, putting more police officers out there or targeting certain reckless driving, that kind of thing. Engineering, the way Milwaukee is rebuilding streets. And there's a reason to think engineering could have big results. And one of the stats when the city put together its Vision Zero plan is 59% of serious crashes, so more than half of them, occur on 9% of the city's streets. So you don't need to re-engineer every street. And then the last thing, education, doing things like just raising awareness in high school of proper practices, and even doing the logical, simple thing like teaching driver's ed to as many people as possible. So doing all those things in concert and then tracking your progress. Unfortunately, since I've published this article, Milwaukee has recorded 2 more traffic deaths. It's now up to 23 on the year. So a long way to go, but it is down 7% from last year.
That is good news, bad news. And this is quite a challenge for a city like Milwaukee. But this is also one of those, again, holistic public policy approaches, trying to take a targeted approach using data and this kind of analysis to identify, hey, these are our tier one areas where we see the most fatalities. We don't have to do the same thing in all places because it won't have equal impact. This is the kind of thing that as a number cruncher, as a data wonk myself, I wish we saw more of this from policymakers. What has the public's reaction to this been so far? What are some of these improvements to the streets, these high risk, high fatality streets that the city has been making?
There's a lot of different things happening. You saw some really quick fixes. If you go down Capitol Drive in Milwaukee, you can see these curb bump outs that just prevent the most reckless passing in the parking lane. But also every time the city reconstructs a street, it redesigns it now in a safer way. So not only are you eliminating potholes, but you're just right-sizing lanes. We have a lot of streets in the city of Milwaukee, and you can see these across Wisconsin, that are way wider than they need to be. We had more people driving not on the interstates in the 1960s than we do today. So yes, a lot of opportunity to redesign streets. The city of Milwaukee also has a traffic safety unit within the Milwaukee Police Department, so focused on targeted offenses. And then there's advocacy at the state level, and we've talked about this in the past, on being able to impound the vehicles of reckless drivers. What's the reception to that? People favor some components of it. They're a bit more concerned with, oh, I can't drive as fast as I want. But the key thing to know is speed can kill.
This is the trick here. And it's interesting to me. I'm going to draw a very, very rough analogy. When people say they want bipartisanship and compromise and then complain when they get it, well, I want safer streets and people to slow down. But wait, I can't zip by in the parking lane. And when I'm going to work, boy, I don't like that. Folks, you have to be able, again, these are collective, we're creating community goods by these kinds of programs and policy changes. And yeah, it's going to require behavior modification for all of us, right? Like that's part of what this process is, and thinking, hey, I might need to leave a little bit earlier. And I'll just say this. I was an incredibly responsible kid, got really good grades, did all the sports, but I was an incredibly irresponsible driver. I drove way too fast. I got 2 speeding tickets inside of a month when I was graduating from high school. My parents were super pleased with that. I was painting houses that summer to pay for that, and the insurance increases, believe you me. Listen, thanks so much, Jeremy. It's always a pleasure to have you. That's Jeremy Janine, the founder and creator of Urban Milwaukee, an online newspaper. Check out their work.
If you live in southeastern Wisconsin and want to know more about what's going on, Maggie Dawn speaks to Jeremy every single week, so you can always catch that interview by tuning into her show. She's on Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the Civic Media Network. You can also catch up anytime you want by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Find the Maggie Dawn Show, download the episodes you're looking for, and listen to them whenever you want, wherever you want. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Stores. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The air quality alert runs through noon again. Smoke from wildfires in Canada continue to impact our air quality, keeping conditions unhealthy for those who are more sensitive. The National Weather Service has the air quality advisory until noon today, with a chance it could be extended. They haven't voted in 4 years, and they didn't respond to a letter. More than 192,000 voters in Wisconsin have been removed from the active voter list after failing to recently take part in the process. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says it's a legally required step to make sure voter records stay current and accurate. Those who were deactivated can easily re-register at the polls if they want to vote in future elections. A better name could be Milk-E or Milk-ish. There's another attempt to legally define what does a body good. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced a bill we've seen before aimed at making sure oat milk, almond milk, and soy milk cannot call themselves milk on the label. The Dairy Pride Act would require the FDA enforce the law so companies could not call their products milk, yogurt, or cheese unless they come from animals. Baldwin has introduced this bill before. She says this time it has more bipartisan support. If passed and signed into law, producers would have 90 days to rename and relabel their products.
Maybe the big bids will come in at the end. After being on the auction block for a couple of weeks, there's not a lot of interest so far in the remains of the Deep Thought boat. The high bid for Milwaukee's infamous abandoned boat at the moment is about $1,200, far short of the $20,000 goal hoped for by the county. The auction closes tomorrow. The county isn't expected to go after the boat owners for the costs, saying attorney fees wouldn't make it worth it. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Pamela Anderson has been married 5 times. Once to Tommy Lee, once to Robbie Ritchie, also known as Kid Rock, twice to a professional poker player, and only 1 time to some guy named Dan. She must love marriage. One of the few men she did not marry was former Superman actor Dean Cain. Last week, Cain said he and Anderson's relationship fizzled for one reason. I know what you're thinking. It's because she was too busy getting married to other men. But no. But Cain says that's not why. He says things didn't last because he was never into life in the fast lane, and Anderson was. That, along with the fact that she got married every other week, was probably a hindrance. Cain did have a lot of good things to say about Anderson. Pamela Anderson has revived her career and has gotten serious about the craft of acting. She received rave reviews for Showgirl and currently stars in The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson. They were, quote, caught, end quote, on the set of The Tonight Show, making out. Yes, the two are dating, unless they've already married by the time of this airing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires likely here today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 80 this afternoon. Tonight, clear 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch and what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. It's Monday morning. It's August 4th, 8:35 the time. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. We'll be talking to Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance coming up in just a sec. First, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. And this morning's edition, if you had missed the story earlier, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently completed an investigation about how a pizza restaurant somehow had pizza dough that was laced with THC, the chemical in marijuana that gets you high. Turns out there was an ingredient mix-up as a result of sharing storage space with a licensed cannabis vendor. And the oil containing THC somehow got into the pizza place's dough and made several people feel not so good. Not the good kind of high, apparently. But you can read more about that in our newsletter. And as well, there's a feature on 10 historic buildings in Wisconsin that are older than Wisconsin itself, predating statehood, and those buildings are still with us. And Selena Heller has a report on childcare provider Corrine Hendrickson and her decision to close her doors, something that a lot of small businesses have had to deal with. The childcare crisis, the lack of action by the legislature to help small businesses like childcare centers, all that and more. Keep up with what we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sean Fetteplace is very familiar with all of this, working for Main Street Alliance. Sean, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. And again, you know, Corrine Hendrickson's story is one that we've been telling here for a while, but it's emblematic of child care providers around the state and small businesses around the state. Sean, this has not been an easy first, what, 6-7 months of the Trump administration for small businesses in Wisconsin.
That's right. On January 20th, the day after, the Office of Management and Budget dropped a bomb, which was that they were cutting grant programs all across the country. That impacted folks who are Head Start here in Dane County. It would have impacted 1,000 families, actually. But we also had a lot of members who were part of programs that benefited from government funding. And so that's been huge. We actually have now sued the administration 7 times because they keep breaking the law, whether it's federal layoffs. They've laid off huge amounts of the SBA staff. They're gutting our civil society. And we're fighting back. Our organization, our members like Corrine, who thank you for all you've done to highlight her story, really are working to make sure that we're holding the administration accountable, and we're holding elected officials like Derek Van Orden and Brian Steele accountable as well.
Yeah, because again, for folks that haven't, we haven't talked about Main Street Alliance for a while here, but you know, this is not your big business agenda here. And between, you know, a lack of access to health care, the child care crisis, rising tariffs, a lot of what's happening through the Trump administration may be good for, say, a Fortune 100 company, but their view of their workers and of what they need from government is not the same as what businesses on Main Street need. And that's a big part of Main Street Alliance's role, is reminding state and federal lawmakers that you've got a whole bunch of members that have a different mindset than the big boys on Wall Street.
That's right. And, you know, it wasn't small business owners standing behind the president like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and others during the inauguration. Apparently, our pocketbooks aren't big enough to be able to do that. And so our membership, we have about 2,000 members in Wisconsin. And they're being absolutely decimated right now, whether it's the tariffs or something that your listeners really need to be aware of, is that a lot of the bad stuff in the big, ugly law that passed, they essentially put the goodies on the front end, like the cuts, and then getting rid of benefits and stuff later on. Medicaid, for example, is one of those programs. However, the enhanced tax credits in the Affordable Care Act marketplace, where tens of millions of people get insurance in this country, those cuts are going into effect, open enrollments in November, and the actual cuts go into effect in January. And for many, many folks in the state, that's going to raise their premiums by as much as 97%. It's going to mean tens of thousands of people in our state losing coverage. And we're going to make sure that people know who's responsible for making that happen.
And it's good that you raise that point that everything in the Trump mega bill is on its own different timeline. When these cuts happen, when these when all these things unfold, there will be ways throughout the coming years that will point back to this Trump mega bill as having that kind of an impact on them. And so that explains why you've been convening these forums across the country with small business owners, with advocates as well, to tell them that the mega bill may have been signed and everything, but that's no reason to just say, well, I guess that's it, and walk away. There's always action to be done, either to undo this or to fight for something else, right?
Yeah, I think that the first thing is that the Republicans, when they come back from their August vacation to D.C., there are again cold feet on some of these cuts on the Affordable Care Act marketplace, because they realize that if tens of thousands of people lose coverage in their districts, or if their coverage goes up by twice what it cost before, it's going to be very easy to point out who did that. Derek Von Orden is a perfect example. Because of the way the marketplace is done, more rural areas tend to get more generous subsidies for technical reasons. And so you could see folks see the premiums go up per year in this district by between $2,000 and $4,000 a year. And that is real money. That is money that folks will not be able to afford. And so looking ahead, I mean, that's going to be something that we're really going to pound the payment on. We've been organizing folks, not just in Wisconsin, but I recently went to Iowa, went to Minnesota. We have folks convening in Virginia, North Carolina, and Michigan. Through our 1000 Main Streets program to bring people together to learn about this stuff. And we actually do have a call tomorrow. If you go to mainstreetalliance.org and go to events, we have a briefing on the impact of the big ugly bill and what you can do to fight back. So we're working to make sure that folks are aware of what's happening and they know how to contact and impact their lawmakers. I can't hear you. You're mute.
That would help if I hit that mute button there. Once again, I was looking at the website, mainstreetalliance.org, which kept me from looking at my mute button over here, and noticing the approach to small business. Again, I think of like Governor Evers when he was doing his Main Street bounce back grants, that this was going directly to small businesses on the main streets across the country. And while those voices are small, there are so many more small businesses than there are the big ones. And it really is just a matter of helping all of these entrepreneurs understand that putting their voices together, they can fight for these things that should be higher priorities in Madison and in Washington. So you've talked about at the federal level, holding Brian Stile and Derek Van Orden, to account for them. Does that include, will there be like public events, or is it more just outreach and asking people to, write to their member of Congress and let them know their dissatisfaction with what's happening?
Yeah. So I would say I'm not on you, right? Okay. What I would say is for the two of them, to Brian's credit, he did hold a town hall. He got an earful the other day, but at least he held one. Derek might as well be the witness protection program. He doesn't show up for anything. And so, I definitely show up when people have public events, write op-ed, write LTE, talk to the local media about how you're being impacted. If you get connected to us, if you get our website and sign up, we've been really at the forefront of the fight against the tariffs and against the healthcare cuts. Our members have been featured and seen by over 15 million people in the last couple months across the country on these issues. And so getting into the press, getting into be able to talk to them directly, and then getting involved in local elections. There's going to be primaries. I know there's a primary in the third CD between Becca Cook, Emily, and Lisa, I believe it is. you know, get connected to somebody and, you know, show up and make your voice heard. And the case with Brian's district as well. So that's the thing I would say is that, like, letters and phone calls are great, but to be honest with you, neither of them really listen to those things. So you need to get out into the public sphere and really have them feel the political accountability for doing wrong by their constituents.
Yeah. And that's Emily Berge, Laura Benjamin, Becca Cook are all running in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary at this point. We're talking to Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance. You can learn more at mainstreetalliance.org. One of the discoveries that small businesses are making, some of them who had been, say, Trump supporters, was thinking that everything that they were saying about tariffs was somehow going to be good news for them because they're a small business. And if more people buy American because of the tariffs, it would be good for them. And I'm picking on one particular business, the Montana Knife Company, because their CEO was so, I think, illustrative of where we're at right now. Taking that view of, oh yeah, the tariffs are going to be great for a small businesses till you realize he's an American manufacturer. Yeah. But he's got to import the steel that he's using to make these knives and suddenly realizing, oh, wait a minute, these tariffs are going to hit everybody in some way, shape or form.
Yeah. He also asked for special treatment for his business, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yes.
Considering that, you know, you look at Smoot-Hawley, which arguably helped push us into the depression. You look at these current tariffs. One thing that was extremely frustrating for me in the early days of, like, post-Liberation Day and the sort of very chaotic, you know, very, I would say, impulsive announcements that have been made ever since with Bessent and Howard Lutnick cheerleading the president's economic illiteracy is that the way this is being done is really dumb. These tariffs, like, there's a time and place for tariffs for national security reasons. China is a bad actor, and they've done a lot of things that stealing intellectual property or other things, and there needs to be some accountability there. However, doing a carte blanche 30%, 50% tariff, a lot of profit margins, if you look at Walmart as an example, which is a very big business, right? They have huge production, huge scale. Their profitability is around 6 or 7%. And that has to be disclosed to shareholders. And so if they're only that profitable and you look at 30% tariffs, that the math doesn't math. And so what's been happening is that people have been selling existing inventory, and so they haven't had to jack up prices yet. And they're also in a wait and see period. And if you look at the jobs report that just got released last week, it showed essentially that part of the reason why the jobs data was not good is because so many businesses closed and didn't respond to the survey. And so that shows that this is having a huge impact. It's starting to show them the data, and it's only going to get worse as we head towards the holiday season.
Over at the Main Street website, the event that's most recently listed is Main Street Academy, How to Make Lawmakers Listen, scheduled for tomorrow. Looks like you're still taking signups for that if people want to learn more.
That's right. Anybody, whether you're a small business owner or an ally, all are welcome to join us on that call.
All right. Anything I forgot to ask about, Sean? I haven't talked to you for a while. I want to make sure I'm caught up on everything Main Street Alliance is doing here.
Yeah, I would just say that looking ahead as an organization, we always will be focused on policy and the things that impact our members. We are getting a lot more involved in the electoral process. We were involved in 5 state legislative wins last cycle. There's a real opportunity to get a trifecta in our state in 2027. I wanted to say kudos to the governor. That was not an easy decision for him, but I think ultimately it was his decision. And there's a huge slate of really great folks who are going to be running. So we're going to be working to engage those folks running for governor, running for lieutenant governor, running for state legislature over the course of the next few years to hopefully have a state government that prioritizes the needs across the government and not just in the governor's office for Main Street small business owners like the folks we serve.
It would be nice to see even better priorities in the next 2027 state budget. Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance. Great to catch up with you, Sean. Thank you so much. I'm glad you were free today.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Take care.
All right. Yep. Have a great day. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jane Mattiner about what's coming up on Mattiner On Air, along with Greg Bach, weekday mornings from 9 to 11. That's followed by Tom Hartman. And then, of course, the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba in the evenings. So much reason to stick around here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier today, I played for you a clip of our discussion with Paul Noonan on Matt and Air on Air talking about the hotness of the Brewers, and that's not going away anytime soon, I tell you that. But now it's time to switch gears, talk more sports, but this time with Mike Clemens, who sat down with Don Rosen to discuss not only the Brewers, but also the Packers training camp. He's there for a month, so there will be a lot of coverage coming from Mike Clemens and Civic Media, because you can find your sports news right here at civicmedia.us/news.
We ran a very funny George Carlin bit, and he compares baseball to football.
That's a classic. Baseball's a pastime. Football, I know that.
He says,
you know something?
Yeah.
I keep that in mind. You know why? Because when I tell people, they say, oh, what's up? Where are you going? Well, I got training camp for you. Oh, I was just getting into summer. Oh, please, I'm not ready for football. So, you see, I'm sensitive to that. I try to be sensitive to that because we're totally into football right now. I'm in Green Bay at training camp every day. Started on the 21st of July, and I'll be here through Labor Day weekend because this is the dress rehearsal. This is where the guys are auditioning for jobs.
That dress
and you
rehearsal.
Get ready for this long 17-game season. And we had a little incident on Tuesday.
Yeah,
you know, one
about,
of the things
is,
coming out of the loss to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Was you know, the Eagles were a more physical team. I mean, they just, you know, they kind of beat up the Packers in some place. So they're trying to get more physical that way. Jordan Love's got the ball. He takes a snap. He's looking downfield, and his left tackle, the blind side protector, Rasheed Walker, who was a starter all last year, he's there, and a defensive end named J.J. Anagbari pops him really hard right in front of me, shoulder pad, bam. And then they're driving. And then the whistle blows and the play's over. And Walker's like, dude, you know, back off. You know, hey, you stepped over the line there. So he said something. And then Walker, the lineman, the offensive lineman, said something back that must have been way over the line. Because one of the assistants came over and said, hey, 63, you're out. Sent him to the sideline. He's like, what? So he turns and he starts walking over the sideline. Now LaFleur's got his walkie-talkie. He's looking like, where's my left tackle? So the assistant tells the head coach what just happened. He said, oh, he comes running over right in front of us, right in front of all these reporters. And he says, Sheed, that's his nickname. He goes, take a lap. Eddie, one of the assistants, make sure he takes a lap. We're not going to take, and then stuff I can't say on the radio. And everyone's like, because, you know, you do that when you're in peewee, you know, maybe high school. You don't do that in the NFL.
In high school, yeah, in high school. The gym teacher said, Rosen, take a lap. And by the way, when you get back, hit the ground and give me 20.
Right. So here he starts trotting off, this 320-pound man, to take this big, long lap way down there in the north end of the field. Well, Josh Jacobs, the star running back they picked up last year from the Raiders, he looks around and goes, come on, we're going. He grabs Tucker Kraft, the tight end, and about four or five offensive linemen that were on the sidelines, and they go chasing after him. And they go, all six or seven of those guys go following Walker all the way around for his lap, way down there to the north end, comes back about, you know, 3-4 minutes later taking that big lap. And we asked LaFleur about it, you know, the day after, and he said, hey, listen, yeah, I wanted him to be more physical. But what he did, that would have cost us 15 yards in a game. And these practices have to be like game-like conditions. So there's a line between being physical, but you can't turn it into a fight. You can't say things that will trigger a fight, and obviously you can't throw punches, you know, after the whistle. So that's what we're trying to. So that's the atmosphere. But LaFleur is definitely, I mean, he's turned up the temperature both in himself and at the end of the day. Hey, last night I got a chance to, you know, have some dinner with Wayne Larrivee. It's a great time.
Yeah.
He says, what do you think is going on with LaFleur? I said, you know what? He's trying to get through the quarterback. He needs him to get a bit more vocal as well to Jordan Love. Like, you need to start calling these guys out as well. You're the general out there. You need to, you know, get that group in line and get them focused and to call them out if they make mistakes. So I think that's part of what's going on in camp right now.
And don't forget, football is held at Coliseums at War Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
In baseball,
it's a gridiron. Yes,
in
yes.
Baseball, we play in a park.
It's a ballpark.
It's a park.
It's a home run.
In football, we have downs. In baseball, you're up. In football, we wear helmets. In baseball, we wear caps.
We wear caps.
That is such a great bit from George Carlin.
In football, it's sudden death. Baseball, it's extra innings.
In football, it's a penalty. In baseball, you make an error.
Yeah. George Carlin, besides being a great comedian, he was a great writer, too. Just a great writer.
Hey, right in front of me, somebody posted a calendar for the month of, this is still July up there. It's George Carlin being let out of, I think, Summerfest. George Carlin being let out by police because he used the 7 dirty words in concert.
Yeah, it was a classic night.
It's right in front of me.
He couldn't believe it. And he talked about it with Tom Snyder. I think you can see that interview on YouTube. You know, kind of a life-changing thing. But you know what? He got so much publicity out of it. His album went to number one.
Yeah.
I always enjoy listening to Mike Clemens and Don Rosen chop it up on their Friday discussions, but if you can't get to WRJN because you're not anywhere near the signal, don't worry. Get the Civic Media app on your device. Download it today at the Apple or Google Play Store. That way you can pick your favorite station like WRJN or WAUK, just putting it out there, and you can listen to shows live. Very simple, it's customizable, and as I said before, it's absolutely free. See? Pun in the morning. Don't go anywhere, because after Pat's done with his show, you're going to stick around for Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire and me, Greg Bach, and we're going to be having a great show with Sholly Pittman, who's Civic Media's news director, to break down all the stories from this past weekend we may have missed, and Be on the Cheese, where we celebrate small business owners in Wisconsin. So stay tuned.
You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Monday. I'll talk to you later. It's 8:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott threatens to remove Democratic lawmakers who left the state to prevent a Republican redistricting plan vote. Democratic Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker arranged the lawmakers' Illinois state.
You've had to leave behind your families, your full-time jobs, your communities. And you did it to protect the voting rights of the people that you represent and voters all across this nation.
Over 3,000 people who make fighter jets at Boeing are on strike over wages and work schedules. Worker Keith Gallup.
For most companies will not give pensions anymore. It'd be nice to help increase the 401k.
Two emaciated Israeli hostages being held by Hamas are shown in a video as Hamas says it will allow the Red Cross to visit the hostages. CBS's Robert Berger.
Hamas hasn't allowed the Red Cross to visit throughout the war because that could expose the hiding place and tunnels where those hostages are being held.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.